My name is Jackie Bergman. I was born and raised in Valdosta, Georgia. I'm 63 years old. I was born May the 22nd, 1962. River Hill is my home.
I'm Eddie McCormick, and I was born and raised in Jones' Settlement, where the River Hill Church is located. And I've been living here all my life, and I can go back with a lot of remembrance about River Hill, when I started going to church, when it was just a white building, and I went to school also behind the church.
Date of birth.
My date of birth is 808547, Valdosta, Georgia.
My name is Vanda McCormick. I was born and raised in Hay Howard, Georgia, and I'm married to Eddie McCormick, and we got married in 2075.
1975.
And River Hill became my home after we got married. And I love River Hill. I lived for a while, but I came back home, and I enjoy every bit of it. Date of birth, I did. July 1st, 1946. Think about it. You get all that straight.
My name is Clara Jean McCormick Henderson. I was born in Knox County, Valdosta, Georgia, 11-17-49. And I've been in River Hill all my life. I was baptized in the river.
In the river?
In the river.
Yes.
In the river, yes.
That's the Withlacoochee River?
Yeah. River right down the road there. Yeah. This was unbelievable how that water looked so black when you're crossing the road. But the part where we were baptized, it was back in the woods, like we had to go back in the woods. And you get back there, you see some pretty white sand, and the water was just so pretty and blue. It was unbelievable where we were being baptized at. But all of a sudden, when you see all that water, you think it's muddy and dirty and thing. But the part where we got baptized, that water was pretty.
And we went down to the river on the back of the wagon.
Was it far away?
They didn't have many cars then. No. So we had a wagon, it was a wagon load of us, dressed in white gowns and cap.
That's so cool. What are some of your earliest memories of the church?
Well, some of my early memories when the church, before they built I-75, River Hill Church was located down where the Sleep Inn at now. That's where the church was and the school. I went to school in the first and second grade at the big red building. And also back then down River Hill, we didn't have running water. We had an old pump out there. We kept a big tub around and kept it full of water. And when we go to church on Sunday, we have to get water out that tub to pour in the pump, to pump the water, pump to get it started. But you can be real muddy in the beginning, but as you keep pumping, it's unbelievable how clean and pretty that water was. Mm-hmm. And that's how we drank it and cooked and everything. Also in the school building down there, it was just two teachers, Miss Savonia Butler and
Odessa
Maloon. Miss Maloon was the principal. And Miss Butler was also the pianist for the River Hill Church. She was the only one I could remember back, you know, all them days. And then also, this church has been through a lot, you know, from the change up, because from where it was started, it was just unreal for somebody, you know, for it to be a big nice church as it is now. But the building that we was in, that big wood building, it was just unbelievable. But it was torn down. And after, that's the reason, 75, after they built 75.
They moved the church, you know, they didn't tear it down. They didn't tear it down, they moved the whole building here.
Yeah, they moved
and remodeled it.
Remodeled it, mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yes.
And they brought the little red schoolhouse too. Mm-hmm. It was used to sit back behind here.
Behind the church.
Behind the church, the little red schoolhouse. I do remember that. And then we used to have Sunday school out in the little red building. We used to have Sunday school. Uncle Frank Jones, I remember him. My earliest memories of the church, I was only 4 years old. And I remember when my father passed away, I remember his service. That's all I remember, the service being at the church when it was located way down by where he's talking about, by where Sleepy Inn is. That's all the memories I have of the church being there. My other memories of the church is when it got relocated here. As I grew up and we started coming to Sunday school. I'm sure we always went to Sunday school, but I just don't remember a lot of that. But my grandmama made sure that we always was in Sunday school and always was in church. And Uncle Frank Jones, I remember, was the superintendent of Sunday school. And those are, you know, my fondest memories of raising up around River Hill. I remember when they brought it down here, and like I said, the little red building was in the back where we used to have Sunday school and other functions when this go before they put the kitchen on the back of this church. We used to always have our little outings out there in the church, in the little red building where he was saying they had their school at. I was not old enough to know anything about the school, but those are my fondest memories. Just growing up in River Hill, I've always been here. I remember Reverend Bland. That's the first preacher I remember. Was Reverend Bland. I think y'all remember
Reverend Williams. Reverend Williams was the preacher when I was here. And he was a great preacher. He was
the first preacher you remember.
I remember, that's what I said. And also all the older men back in them days, Conhardus Gardner, Frank Jones, and
Mamie Jones.
Joe Conaway.
Peyton Adams.
I don't remember
Peyton
Joe.
Peyton Adams.
Peyton Adams, I remember mm-hmm.
Peyton. Yeah.
We had two choirs. We had a senior choir and a
junior choir.
Ms. E. Brown was over the junior choir. Sophonia Butler was over the senior choir.
I remember as a little girl, I was on the Ursha board, and Sister Emma Jones was over the Ursha board when I was on it. But growing up, I remember being on the Ursha board in the church, and that was what I did, was Ursha in the church, and for a long time, I did that.
His mother got over the youth, and then Emma was over the senior.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mother worked with the young ushers, and Kanama Jones worked with the senior ushers.
And when I was first started, they had the altar around the church, around the pulpit, where you could go in for prayer, communion, but they tore all that down. But when I first started, they had that, you know, they had a big stove right over
here
in this area when I first started coming.
We didn't have no heat and air conditioning. That was our
raise the window.
That's right.
And I remember we used to have, I don't remember having as many functions as we have this day and time, but I just remember growing up, we always had the church anniversary, and that was the biggest thing that I remember about the fundraisers for the church, for lack of a better term. And the church anniversary was something real big for River Hill. We had people like my mom, Johnny Mae McCormick, Edwards, who would go out into the community and solicit money, donations from different people and stuff, and raise money to be donated to the church to help prosper the church. And always, it was just a big, big event. And with that raising of the money, they would, you know, do different things in the church. And it was just phenomenal to see how they would bring that money in. It was, and how much each person would raise, and the big output we'd have for people coming in. Different churches would come in and sing, and different churches would come in and be recognized, you know, during our church anniversary. We still have a church anniversary today, but it's nothing like it used to be growing up in the days. It's not as big and, for lack of a better term, fashionable as it used to
back,
be.
Back then, during that time, when we had the church anniversary and stuff like that, the school back there, they use it for the to feed the people. And most individuals, all the older ladies that was in the church, everybody would bring a box of food and cakes and different stuff, and just all kind of food, and we served it back there in the school building, you know. And
we had a lady
named some people had special people. You can get food from first.
Lily Mae Bush had the best potato cakes. What you call them? Sweet potato bread. Yeah. Lily Mae Bush, didn't she? She made them potato bread.
They was called the Willing Workers. It was Mittie Pearl Russell, Johnny Mae McCormick Edwards, Clara McCormick, Lula Reed, Amy Adam, Lily Frazier, Frances Roberts, Rose McConaughey, Sophie Lane, Celia Mae Calhoun, Anna Marley, Minnie Conaway, Mr. Ellis, and Tom McCormick. They were willing workers, and when they get together, they, like I said, it was time to raise money, to cook, whatever had to be done. And mostly Tom McCormick, they called him the ambassador, because he had a stroke and everything, but he would go and visit the sick, and you know, if he could take them to the doctor, take them grocery shopping, that's what he do. But don't call him when the young and the rest is gone. he was working. He was one of the older deacons.
And another one of my family members, I remember when we were getting ready to have a funeral, they had a, what they call it?
Tone the baby.
Tone had a Canaris gardener. They'll come down here and tone the bell.
When they die.
For whoever died, for how many, how old they were, that many times. And by the time they feel that the funeral people going to get here, he'll tone that bell.
For so many times. It'll be a big old bell. It just rings. It's beautiful. There. Beautiful. It's still up there. The bell's still up there?
Yeah, it's still up there.
Okay.
They tone it for Mr. Mike.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Another one of my fondest memories is, and it's nothing today like it used to be, but we had a lady in the community named Sophie Lane, and we called her Key, but her name was Sophie Lane. But Miss Sophie used to pull all the children at Easter time together and teach us our Easter speeches and teach us little Easter skits. And that used to be a big thing at the church every Easter. We'd have a big Easter parade and a big Easter program, and it was just real phenomenal. And she ran that for years. And we knew not to get out of line, because she'd tell our grandma.
They used to call grandma the chef.
Yeah, my grandmama, they used to call her the chef.
Clara McCormick, she was the chef of Jones.
Yes, she was.
And grandmama didn't pick them. It didn't make no difference who the mama was.
And all the kids gave respect. Her the utmost respect.
Yes, so true.
Yes.
Do you see a difference today?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Don't you say nothing to my child. You don't know like that. You might go tell my mama who. Tell her that.
Our Easter programs are nothing like they used to be. The Easter programs are nothing like they used to be.
No, it's a different world now. Yes. It's a whole different world.
Right. Even the church anniversary is not like it used to be. I mean, we just come together. I think they I don't even know if they solicited and raised money like they used to with the church anniversary.
They didn't have back, and then they weren't doing tithes and everything. Oh, and see, now we learned that we do tithes and offering and everything, but the only thing we done back in then was offering, raise fundraisers and stuff like that. But now we learn how to tithe, and then, like I said, they asked us to pay $150 per household for the anniversary, how many years the church been, you know, here.
Do you know when that started?
It started.
What started?
Do you know when, like, the tithe system started?
That's when Reverend Jenkins was here.
Was it? It's always been, but that's when it was implemented.
Enforced, maybe.
Enforced. That
enforced. Because tithe has always been a part of the Bible. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we probably didn't learn what we were supposed to be doing, you know, until, you know, we were taught to pay the tithes.
Yes.
Which is, you know, 10% of your earning.
Okay. And that was back, like I said, Reverend Jenkins put more pressure on, that's why he stopped the fundraiser by telling us that if we pay our tithes and everything, it'll cover everything. So he stopped the fundraiser and everything. But like I said, we still had outside of that donated money to the towards the church and everything. And today, people send donation to the church.
Are there still similarities between how you celebrated anniversaries then and now? It's not totally different, right?
No, they still invite different churches in and that participate in and celebrate the anniversary of the church. You know, they have churches from all around come in and everybody have a part in it. In that.
We do the history. Somebody reads the history of the church and we have a sermon like we normally always have. I don't think it's too much. Aside from the raising of the money, I guess we haven't really deviated from it a lot. But the back in the day, I guess the theme was because it was kind of like a competition of who could raise the most money.
Within the church?
Back in the day.
Churches or? Between the competition.
Between individuals.
The families
in the church, you know, everybody wanted to come in with the most money, you know, and stuff. And so, yeah, it was kind of that looked at that way. I guess it wasn't a real competition, but it was like, you know, you really wanted to bring in the most money for the church anniversary. An individual wanted to. And then, too, now I think they cater the food instead of different ones bringing in plates and boxes like we used to in the day.
That's 49.
They got blessed.
Yeah, we don't, we mostly a catering person to come in and do the whole meal and then we all go back there and eat. Whereas back in the day it would be this family made a box and it had all this stuff in it, and this family made a box and it had all this stuff in it and stuff, and somebody made a ton of cakes. And
well, no doubt about it.
You go on.
Yeah, it was a lot of food. A lot of food.
Dish pan. I like the dish pan or that chicken and dressing. Yes, Lord. The people was together more to me. There was more closeness with the families than, I guess, in the modern years, people have kind of stretched a little apart. But back then, everybody helped everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, you might have some eggs, and you have some grits, and doesn't have some bacon, whatever, they shared more.
Yeah.
But on today's time, you know, most people, I would say separate, more blessed than what we were back then, because you had chicken and eggs, you know, and you had a hog, you had some bacon, and you had a cow, you had some milk, and they just shared.
Oh, yes.
They shared everything.
Yeah.
And that's the... You don't see that today. Mm-hmm. People's not that. It's close. Mm-hmm. You know, like it used to be.
And I think, too, a lot of that has to do with the fact that everybody knew, like me growing up out here in the country, we lived off the land. Mm-hmm. And in today's time, you know, you got all the grocery stores, you can go get what you want, get what you need and stuff. So yeah, everybody got their own now. Where back in the day, we used to, we had probably, my grandmama may had a field full of peas or something, so she shared the peas with everybody. You know, so now everybody got their own peas. You know what I'm saying? It's just like that. It's not, it was just, yeah, more togetherness, I think, like Fanny was saying.
And they, like I say, when they kill hogs or mm-hmm. whatever, they share it with the community. You know, mm-hmm. everybody had a piece of meat from that hog and everything. And they used to kill hogs and
yeah, chicken and stand a chance. Yeah,
we ate the chicken out
of
the yard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they shared everything but the chickens.
They let you have some eggs and everything. And you got to get up in the morning and milk the cow before you go to school.
Oh, man, don't talk about that. Don't talk about that.
Yep, milk the cow, and then you got to go make sure to.
Yeah, back in my history of the church.
Did you live near the church?
We all did. Yeah, we used to walk the church.
We walked. We
still. I still live.
We
me and her.
The church.
We still live walking distance from the church. I hear where we were born and raised. We three are siblings. The three of us are siblings.
And yeah, that used to be a dirt road out there. Mm-hmm. Dirt
road. Yeah, this was
and
a dirt
the church
road.
Was down there. We walked from right up the road there to church
and
going to school.
Couldn't be late either.
Yeah, but that was fun for us to walk to church every Sunday or walk home from church every Sunday.
Let me call you back in a few minutes.
We enjoyed that. I mean, it was just what we did. And that was just where, I mean.
No, this ain't nothing but a woods and a dirt road.
Dirt road.
Dirt road. And I used to we had to walk to school. And that was just our way of getting around. You know, with no buses, catching no bus. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to walk.
I rode a bus.
I'm just saying, I'm talking about me and Clara Jean. Them two there was lucky.
Yes. And the thing about the church, coming up in one of the things that I remember about the church that I think was instilled in me from the church, every adult in the church had a right to tell me something. And I respected that. And it's not that way today.
No.
And growing up in River Hill, I think we learned that. We learned that at church because you just had so much respect for your elders in the church because everybody in the church was there for you. They were there for you. All of the elders, Uncle Frank Jones, I never forget. That he was out, I always respected that old man that be able to tell me anything. And any of the elders in the church growing up, any of them could tell me anything. And I knew, you know, I just respected them. And I just think it's so different today. And I think that came from just the love and
togetherness,
for lack of a better term, what we find in River Hill. It's just always been that way in River Hill. We've always cared about each other. I always loved each other and I always supported each other in River Hill. That's what I remember growing up. Everybody was together.
It was always yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. You had to do it or you get popped. They didn't play. We had catechism classes after church. We go down to Miss Francis' house or Miss Les' house, wherever. They'll discuss the Bible with us, and we done classes at the house, at different houses, with the catechism. We learn your Bible verses and tell what it meant to you, and then all of that. And like I said, we had to be respectful and everything. And like I have to say, women didn't wear pants to church. Women wore dresses, men wore pants. But nowadays, you know, they come as you are.
I think people have taken that out of context.
But from some of the bittersweets out the old toilets, outdoor toilets. The ladies had theirs on one part, and the men had theirs on the other part behind the building. And that, I tell you, it was tough, baby. It was tough.
And we didn't have children either.
Yeah, by the people, you had a nice pass to get there, but then you had to watch out for them bad boys. If you know what I'm talking about, them bad boys might be, somebody, lady going to the toilet, and all of the, big snake, you had to go out there, and some men's go out there and tear his head off.
Yeah, lizards be in the bathroom, be in the toilet. We go in there, run it by, go to the toilet, come out. Newspaper, use the newspaper, roll it together, take it soft, use it, and go ahead on.
Walls be in there. Yeah, walls and this, you got to be careful. It was a struggle.
Yes.
I tell you, we've been through something out here with this church.
It's always been.
Thank God for it. We made it.
We made it.
I tell you.
I just can't get away from the unity that we had in the church growing up as a little girl. I just remember the unity of the church. The church had great leaders, great followers, and we always have, it kind of blows my mind now that we don't have a bigger crowd that we have on Sundays, because back in the day, it used to be a full house.
That's easy to understand. There's too many churches now. There's a church on every corner now. Everybody want to be a preacher now. Everybody want to be a preacher.
We used to have church on the second and fourth Sunday of the month.
And we did that for long years till these modern preachers got in here, want to have church every Sunday. That gave people, during that time, that gave you a chance to visit other churches. Mm-hmm. And see, that's another reason why you don't have the crowd here that like they used to have.
Mm-hmm. I do remember reading in some of the materials that I was given that the membership increased over a short amount of time, like 170 members, like 220.
It did. It grew one time. It was a lot of people coming to church.
Yeah.
It's too many churches now. Church on every corner.
We're so thankful for River Hill being around 152 years. Mm-hmm. I'm very thankful. And I did leave one time and went to another church, but I'm thankful that I came back home.
I never left. I moved to Lake Park. I drive from Lake Park back to River Hill.
Oh, wow.
Yes, every Saturday and fourth Sunday.
Did a lot of people leave?
A few years ago, we had
about 100 and something left. And then, like I said, some come back and some never come back. And then, like I said, then with COVID, it caused a lot of, we had quite a few members. And then when COVID comes, I guess COVID hadn't gone, but yet and still the members didn't come back. Some of them didn't come back and everything. But thank God for Ruby Hill.
They get
in church
on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Susan May, you want to add anything, your fondest memories of River Hill?
I'm thinking too, when Mom was talking about him and Clary Jean with the road foot of us going down here to the Little Red Schoolhouse on this end of the road. And then years later, it was you, the road foot of us went at the west side. So we started at one end of the train road and graduated on the other end.
That's where Westside High School, that's where I graduated from Westside High School, 1964.
It's the elementary school now, right up the road.
I
graduated 1969.
Used to be a high school.
Used to be a high school.
That's where we graduated. Used to be a high school.
Yeah. We started out in River Hill. We ended up South Street, Mice,
Reason of being of Right, like I was saying, when they started building 75,
yeah,
they closed our school. They closed our school, and then they stopped busing all the country kids to city school. And for years, and after so many years, then they stopped busing them to county school.
When he said our schools, that's the black schools. That was before segregation.
Because in 69, the last year, Westside was up there, and then they transferred them to Lost House. That was the last year, 1969, I graduated.
So for integration, they just decided just to close the school entirely, yes, and just integrated into white schools?
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, they changed that school to an elementary school.
Mm-hmm. Now it's an elementary school, but it still had the same name.
They renovated and changed it to an elementary school.
Westside. But he talking about like P.G. Williams was an all-black school.
Yeah.
Yes.
But once it got segregated, they closed P.G. Williams and we had to come to the white schools.
Mm-hmm. All the kind, all
Miles
the kids.
Line.
Mm-hmm. Wilson Roberts, what's that school up here?
Well, all
those schools, black schools then. And after they built 75 and the segregation thing started, they closed all the black schools.
Did they use I-75 as a reason to close schools?
Why?
Or were the schools
did they use that? Building 75 is the reason why they closed the black school.
No, that's segregation.
Segregation. Okay.
But that's what happened. That and the closing the school. 75 didn't have to do with that. Started the civil rights movement. That's what that helped. I didn't have nothing to do with it.
I'm trying to think of anything else that I can remember growing
up.
Remember being on the Ursha board. I did sing in the choir. Thankful a little while. Then the shield. I sang in the choir for a little while. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, I reckon.
All of us.
I think we just did both, everything, to work in the church, because we just worked in the church.
Second Sunday was youth Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, the youth done most of everything. And they trained the youth how to be superintendent and everything. They trained them, start them early. And nowadays, like I said, kids don't want to be nothing. They don't want to do nothing but come to church and play on the phone.
I remember we used to have a, it was called BTU, Baptist Training Union, and they did that every year. And I remember the church would send you wherever they was having BTU, the church would send a candidate. Mm-hmm. And I went to Little Coochie, Georgia, or somewhere one year.
Oklotny,
Georgia. That sound right. Mm-hmm. Oklotny, Georgia. I went for the BTU. They still do that?
There are different churches, I think they have something. I don't hear that name several times. Mm-hmm. Different things built.
But we still here at River Hill do?
Not have BTU.
Not BTU.
They're not connected with Oklotny anymore because, like I said, when we had a union meeting, it'd be two of Lily Ann McCormick and Clara Jr., and we had to sing and represent River Hill. And we used to cry all the time. Grandmama didn't play. When she said something, you didn't have no no. You done just what she said, because she meant it and she didn't make sure you don't change words. Like some of these kids, you tell them something to do.
That was the difference in growing up back in the day at River Hill versus growing up at River Hill today. Long time ago at River Hill, if an adult came to you and said, I want you to read this some script at the whatever next Sunday, you did that. No questions asked. The day is, will you do this? And children can say yes or no, and I ain't doing that or whatever.
But you can't tell these kids nothing now. If you say something to some of the kids now, you gotta say something to the parents. But I can remember back my childhood days, sitting out here in the church. If I got gum in my mouth, a lady walked right up to you, give it to her. You had to give it up. And you didn't say that.
Kanama Jones did it all the time.
And then too, if one kid,
and key.
You ain't paying attention, you're not paying attention, an old person might walk up to you and say, be quiet. You want me to tell your mama? Oh, you don't know. No, you're going to be quiet. Because you know if you tell your mother, boy, that's trouble. Like, yeah,
just a lot of respect in the church growing up. When we was in our day at River Hill, we grew up with a lot of respect for our elders. Mm-hmm. It was taught to us at church.
Mm-hmm. Do you know why that's changed?
Society.
Time brings about a change, y'all. Time brings about a change.
Time and condition.
That's what that is. Over a period of time. The whole world just so different. Oh, see, me, I never went to school with white kids. I never went to school with white kids.
But we grew up with them.
I grew up with them.
Slept in bed with them.
And worked with them. Back with them.
I think the younger, the older people had so much that they grew up with, and when I say grew up with, the struggle that they had, it was instilled in their kids. As time went on, the younger people didn't have the struggle, and things were easier, so they didn't get that respect, didn't come with the struggle. You see what, if it makes sense what I'm saying? And I think that had a lot to do with it. The younger generation just don't have any, I don't know.
They don't have any idea what the older people went through. And when you try to tell them now, they don't believe.
They think it's a joke.
That's maybe to grow up. And we had a hard time, even myself growing up. And then, you know, my mother prayed because I know she didn't want us to go through what she went through. And the same thing we did, we prayed for our children, they want them to go through what we did. And so as the younger generation come down, they got more wiser. Mm-hmm. You know, they think they didn't need nobody because they feel like, okay, mama done prayed for me and I got this and, you know, I got a better education and this. But they don't think and believe that some of the things we try to tell them what we went through and appreciate what you have now, they don't believe it. Y'all didn't go through that. Y'all didn't do this.
And I think, too, the older people, you know, they relied on the church. Mm-hmm. The church is what kept them. The church is what it was instilled from the church. I know me growing up, my grandma made us go to Sunday school, and she made us go to church, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful for what I got out of River Hill. Very thankful for it because I know it instilled in me some good stuff. But I think more people get away from that because of what society has. You know, we got so many different things that people believe in now instead of just believing in God, where I think the older people from the church, especially River Hill, everybody prayed. Everybody prayed. And River Hill, that was instilled in you to pray. All the older people instilled in us to pray and to trust God, but that is not instilled today in people. So they've gotten away from going to church, and that's why so many churches are not staying together, are not standing. But we're thankful that 152 years River Hill has stood. And I think it's because of what we keep trying to keep going, you know, what we keep trying to instill and what we keep trying to press on with people, that it's got to begin, just like charity begins at home, it begins at the church as well.
And see, right along with now, you go and hit the switch, the lights come on. Back in then, you had the candlelight or the kerosene lamps or something like that. And these children now, we didn't have television. We used to go to other people's house and look at television and stuff. But the first thing they tell you about, the kids don't pray over their food. They don't say the blessing. Some of them don't pray before they go to bed at night. We was taught all of that.
Yes.
And like I said, if you come down here and they say, okay, I need you to pray, you got up there and prayed. If you didn't say nothing but Lord have mercy on us and you know, made it short and sweet, But if they told you, you okay, next Sunday is your prayer time, you pray. You know, but kids now, you sit up there, you give them the Bible, some of the kids can't even read.
So we used to have chapel in school too, mm-hmm. Fridays and all that. Like in the morning, by the fact.
Oh yes, in school.
Oh, yes. What's that?
In school, we had to do the pledge, mm-hmm. a prayer.
Oh yeah,
the scripture. Yeah. The scripture
every morning before mm-hmm. class. Mm-hmm. In school, this was in school.
Yes,
in the school line. Mm-hmm.
In public school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yes, it started down in River Hill, the little red school. Yeah. Oh yes, they started down there.
Mm-hmm. They still do the Pledge of Allegiance today, right?
In school? In school?
Yes.
Do y'all do pledge? We used to do it and then do, but they changed, you know, it's just so much change.
Yes.
Because, see, I worked in the middle school, Lounge Middle School for a while. And then they had, what they call, on Fridays, they'll have Christians, they go to the gym and they do Bible study for 30 minutes, and then they go to class. Before doing the Pledge of Allegiance in school, that's on Friday only. We did it every day at school. Down at River Hill when it started.
Before class started. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in that little red building, that said, President.
And you better play. Know your Bible verse. Mm-hmm. And you can't say the same one every day. So that means you had to read the Bible. Yes, Lord.
So if the younger generation listened to your stories, what other struggles would you tell them about?
Well, tell them about. First thing is manners. They need to learn good manners, behavior, their attitudes and everything, like I said. Because like I said, these kids nowadays, you know, you try to tell them something. And what you're telling them is telling them to respect others as well as yourself and everything. Because we had to learn that. And we try to tell the kids that too.
We was taught that.
Right? We was taught.
We were taught that. We didn't have no choice. But the kids nowadays, they got a choice to listen to you. They'll tell you, real quick, you ain't my dad, or I ain't studying you, or something like that. As coming up in this church, well, no way I tell a parent, some of these parents out here, before they told me to be quiet. I was like, I ain't studying you, I ain't talking to you. I ain't.
You don't want to get up off
no,
that floor?
No, boy, you got to
sit down. That's the way they was. They taught us. And like I said, you had to respect them. And they didn't make no difference who was a parent or who was the adult. You respect them. Yes. Like I said, they told you something to do. You better get, you don't even make eyes. You just do it.
Yes, ma'am.
You do it.
So when you were growing up, what were your favorite programs in the church?
Easter.
Easter was a favorite. Like I said, they had a big old, big old Easter parade.
Remember what?
The dress with the crinoline slips.
That big old slip that makes you spray away.
You probably see on them old cowboy pictures with them dresses standing out.
Yes, I'm sorry. I had a moment. Oh, gosh.
Yes.
We used to have them dresses like that.
Dress, and they get your hair all curly up and put your little bows on there. And sometimes you have a little hat. Your gloves to match, oh, and your shoes, little white shoes, yeah, and everything.
The rough around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Socks with rough around.
Yeah, back in them days, Easter was the fun day, because boy, everybody get them a new outfit.
Yes, right.
New outfit, and they have Easter egg hunt.
Yeah,
have an Easter egg hunt
right get an Easter basket.
And dang, it was just a lot of fun, just a lot of fun. Back in the days when I was a kid, you know.
We're gonna move.
We're gonna move to the back, so we get out of that way.
So we were talking about Easter.
Yeah, Easter speeches and all that. Easter play.
What was that like?
That crucifixion was acted out. The whole scene. It wasn't just, you know, somebody read, they had the whole scene and they done the Panama Island or whatever, you know, all of it. They had somebody on the cross.
Yeah.
It was real nice.
A real person on the cross?
Yes. Yeah.
They just okay.
Yes.
Yeah, they reenacted. They reenacted the whole crucifixion. We had a whole reenactment of the crucifixion in the church during the Easter program. Yeah. And we also had a little thing that we did to the song. It's an old rugged cross.
Yeah.
It was some
kind of like Panama.
Panama, yeah, that we did to that song. And then, like they were saying earlier, all the children, probably 50 to 60 children, the whole community out here had on new clothes, new dresses, new shoes, new everything, and everybody had an Easter basket, and everybody had an Easter speech. And we have Easter practice down here at the church. Yeah. And like I said, Sophie Lane was over there, and she made sure she hand you out when it was time, getting close to time
in
for
January.
Easter. Sometimes she'll get us those speeches, and she'll hand it to you. Mm-hmm. And you ain't say I didn't want that. You took that speech and you learned it word by word. It wasn't no get up there reading off the paper.
No,
you had to learn that whole speech.
You had to say it live.
Word by word, you learn it, and you get up there and you do your curtsy, and you say it, or you do your salute, and you say that Easter speech. And that's what we did on Easter Sunday, and it was nice. It was very nice, and I really wish we could get back to something like that, but it was...
You
just don't have the kid participation. Like, kids wasn't...
They had the parents.
Kids was not asked to do anything.
Oh, that's right. They were told.
And they did it.
You don't ask. You respect the people. Mm-hmm. Whatever the old people tell you to do, you done it. You didn't ask no questions. And just like she said, you got your little Easter dress and with your crinoline slip and it's standing out. Like
that little girl would sit down and do this.
Have your little hat on, your little ribbons, your gloves.
And then they have someone's got rehabilitation by someone's
got
clergyman
coming.
Yeah, rehabilitation by clergyman coming. Clergyman get up, say her little speech.
You got the curfew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do a little thing.
You never seen that? How they used to have a the kid, they come up,
That is so cute.
They salute.
The young
boys salute
and the young
girls
curse.
Young men get up, down there and say, yes, yes, yes. And one of my fond memories was really home. We got up there in church one Sunday and he didn't learn speech. He got up there and he said, Charlotte, I don't know my.
Because you had to learn it.
Yeah,
but you had to learn it.
Yeah, well, you know, unless you had to get up there, but really got it in, salute and everything. I don't know why.
Did the young boys, did they have to wear suits?
Oh, yeah. Everybody had
on suits. Oh, yeah.
That would be so cute.
Oh, yeah. A white shirt, then a tie, and a bow tie.
They sure did,
Yes.
Were the other holidays like this?
Mm-hmm. No.
Easter was the only holiday.
They let them read off the paper. We had to learn if it was two paragraph or three paragraph. You had to learn it.
That's right.
And Sophie, that was my auntie. Easter varies depending on the year. Sometimes it comes in the last of March. Sometimes it comes in April. Sometimes it comes the first part of April or further down in the month. But she'll start giving you them Easter speeches in January. You already had school homework and all to do. But you had to learn them speeches. And she gave it to their grandma, Conclara McCormick now. Governing them old folks. They were, you had to learn that speech. And then you had to get up there and didn't have a microphone and you had to say it louder. You just sat up there and say it again.
Again, that's
yeah. Say Jackie again.
You gotta say it again if you ain't say make it loud
sure.
enough, you sure did.
Mm-hmm. Say it loud enough and make sure you didn't miss them. Mm-hmm.
It was just awesome. Really.
But that was part of the raising.
The raising.
Exactly. Out of the raising in River Hill. You know, you were expected to do it in the church. Mm-hmm. And that's where it came from, and that's what you did. That's what you did. A lot of our, because everybody was so close-knit in the church, and everybody was pretty much family in the church, you did what you were told to do in the
and
church.
And you didn't ask no questions.
No
you
questions.
Because you know you just wanted to live to grow up. So you ain't asked no questions.
No, you wanted to live to
live to get big.
Ooh.
Oh,
that's
true. Used to hit you so hard. Talking about child abuse.
Well, no, they came up that word child abuse in the late 60s.
No, it wasn't no 60s. I got some child abuse. I was born in
60. The late 60s. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. That had to be about 75 or 80.
Thank you.
Child abuse. Thank you. I got plenty of words.
I ain't never heard that word child abuse. What is that?
I got some
I had a lot of whips. But hey, they didn't run away.
Yeah.
They go away. But I bet you one thing, you learn something. If they spoke, you listen.
That's right.
If they told you to do something, whether it was in church or at home, you respected them.
Yeah.
And everything. And them old folks didn't say, "Wait, I get you home." Mm-hmm. They got you where you started there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And then too, I think
that's love.
Children aren't made to go to church today, and we were made to go to church. Mm-hmm. You had to be there. My grandmama didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we growing up, we had River Hill, and it was six of us girls together growing up. And on Sundays, the thing that we loved to do on Sunday afternoon was go up to the school, the same little school we talking about now, the Westside Elementary School. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, we used to love to go up there on Sunday afternoon and play softball. If you didn't go to church, you didn't leave the house at all. That's how my grandmama rolled. She didn't play. And we knew, and we all went to church, but we all had positions in church, didn't we, Jill? Yeah. Growing up, my grandmama and them made sure we had a position either on the choir, in the choir, or on the usher board. We had positions in the church, and we did that. That was one of the things today, even today. They don't make the children participate in the church. They give them a choice.
If they want.
Yeah.
Yeah, they give them a choice.
Yeah.
And back in the day, we didn't have a choice. You just had to go to church, and you had to participate in church. And I think it made us the women that we are today.
Yes, Lord.
Part of the church.
Mm-hmm. What is the purpose of the usher board?
They're the ones that, you know, stand up in the white suits on Sunday. Oh, that's the urchins.
Greet the people.
That's
they,
greet. They greet the people. They make sure they have, if they need anything, get like some water or a fan or something like that.
Water.
You can answer that better. I mean, you can answer that better, Fanny. You are
a urchin. For anybody that is in need, you know, sometimes people get sick. And, you know, we go and see if they need to step out of the church or whatever. And they need some water or they need a fan or they need a tie them or whatever you know they need, we are there to serve you.
And to pay some people from moving around in the church, getting up and stuff, the ushers do the moping.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been an usher?
Quite some time. And like if the baby go to crying and everything, they get the baby, take the baby out, quiet it. Mm-hmm. The baby needs changing, the usher doesn't need changing.
Not no more.
Yeah, that used to be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, your baby crying. What you get my baby for? Mm-hmm. You tell your baby.
See, things change.
I used to look at them. Mm-hmm. Then they'll, you know, they may step out and they might.
They just like greeters, you know, they the first one they
the
see.
And the hostess of the church. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. They usually be the first one you see coming in and probably the last one you see going out, you know, would be the usher.
Is that common among missionary Baptist churches?
Yes.
Probably not just missionary. It's probably more than just missionary.
Yes.
And a lot of churches have men's. Mm-hmm. They just have all men folks to do it. But in our churches, we have ladies mostly, and we have some men's as well. But in some churches, they just have men's only doing it.
I think the church that I'm thinking of, I was really small when I was in it, but I think the deacon board were kind of like ushers. And it was all men.
Oh, yeah.
And they were the ones that did like communion and all the other stuff.
That's right.
So I don't think I grew up with ushers.
Oh, okay.
But that's really cool.
Some people call them greeters, you know, at the door to kind of welcome you into the church, you know, first face you see in the morning.
Oh, okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no. Never mind. Sorry. Yeah.
They try to welcome you, make you feel comfortable.
And see if you need anything, you know.
Yes. What other roles have you had in the church?
Okay. I've been the secretary, the clerk. I sung in the choir, always sung in the choir. And then I taught Sunday school class also. The youth. I taught the youth Sunday school class. They kept us busy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then you go in the church and just sit out in a corner. Come here, ma'am, I got something.
They were.
So there are other churches in the Jones community.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what has River Hill Missionary Baptist Church done for the Jones community?
We visit other churches and participate in everything, and then one church, they were having problems and stuff, and River Hill participated with them, you know, to help put it together and all that. Because they had to say we were having second and fourth Sunday, not first, second, third, and fourth.
Right.
First and third, we'll visit other churches and everything. Mm-hmm. That to help that church, you know, to pull it together. Mm-hmm.
Was that a lot?
Huh?
Was that a lot on the pastors to have to go to multiple churches?
No, just the pastor that was at that church or go to the other church if the pastor needed them and everything. But then we have had pastors that had. They have our first Sunday at Beulah, second Sunday at River Hill, and then third Sunday at another church, and then fourth Sunday come back to River Hill.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
So they have to take care of all of those congregations.
Mm-hmm. But see, and to me, a pastor got a job and everything, and something come up, that means he got to steady be moving us a lot of time. You got sickness in both churches at the same time, and that keep them moving and everything. But see, we was raised up as missionary. If somebody got sick in the church or in the community, that family helped that family and everything. That includes if you got to help clean the house, you got to cook, you got to help wash clothes, whatever you had to do, we were raised to do that. And it started with a charity again at home and spread abroad. Mm-hmm. Grandmama didn't play.
Were those beliefs kind of set in stone by Amy Wilson, one of the founders of the church? I was reading in the history
that's Amy.
She went Grandma out Amy. And like helped a lot of people.
Yes, Grandma Clara is still in it, all of her children. Because we used to have to take the wagon. And take the, Grandmama used to sell sweet potatoes. Load the wagon, take sweet potatoes to different people's houses. Yes.
My cousin went to pick up some. Piggy went to pick up some. I'm Tommy. And it's from Claire. Tommy was so mad because he had to go get the sweet potatoes. Because Pete made him go with Piggy to help get them because it was in a big
bag.
Big,
big bushel.
Yeah. And so my cousin Tommy, he was so mad when his sister took it down there to Conclara High, their grandmama High, and Conclara told him, say, boy, get up out that car, what is the matter with your hand?
Boy, he was mad, but she made him get out that car and go up there on that porch and get them potatoes and stuff and tell him to put, and then not drop them, boy. Boy, he wanted to try Conclara, but he wanted to live, like I say, to see another day. And I'm saying that to say that those older people, they chastise anybody, child, you know, and they made a mind, you know, and everything. Yeah. Boy, that Tommy was so mad, people say, Tommy was one mad dude. She made him get them potatoes off that porch.
Mm-hmm. Was there a potato farm around here?
Well, he was down in Isley.
Oh, okay.
He had a big farm down in Isley.
He'll bring them to grandmama.
Grandmama would sell them and get a profit and everything.
It was a big farmer down in Isley. He used to bring sweet potatoes to our grandmother's house. And she would sell them to the community farm.
And my cousin Tommy was one of the buyers. He sure didn't want to go. And then he had to go get it off the porch and all, too, you know.
And you know, if they didn't have money to pay for something and everything, they didn't hold back against them. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Grandma give it to them, you know. Grandma pay for them herself. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, a lot of families out here had big families.
Yeah.
They were not small families. They were big families. Now, it was five of us. And it was, what, four of y'all, Sheila? And it was what? Five of y'all and everything. But there was some family that had 10 or more kids.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes. Canada had 13. Vanessa had 13.
Ooh, because she had 10 girls.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. And Sister Frazier got 10, had 10.
Was it to help around?
The one what Usher, Sister Lily Frazier, the sister in the back, the elderly, she had 10 kids. Mm-hmm. But like I said, they were respectful. I don't care who the parent was or who the lady was in the church. If they spoke and say, young lady, I need you to do such and such, you went on and done it. Mm-hmm. You didn't ask no question and you didn't sit up there and say, I'm not going to do that. Or sit down there and play like you didn't hear him. Oh, Jesus. You didn't even know those. That was the wrong person. Those were the wrong person. Walk around there and pinch.
I look back at my life and where I came from with that. Them was the good old days. Mm-hmm. Them was the good old days. You know, it was hard, but it was fair. And I have no regrets about it. Life was just what it was.
Yeah.
You live and learn, you know. And things is so much more modern now. And got away from a lot of stuff that during my lifetime. You know, I'm 7, 8 years old. And it's just, like I said, starting down there at River Hill Church down there and going to school down there. Mm-hmm. It was something to remember. When I think back, you know how good we made it. You know, we made it rain, storm, sneak or snow. You know, that big old school had one big room.
Yeah,
first and second grade, sit in one part of it. Mm-hmm. And that third and fourth grade sit in another one. They had one big heater in the center of the thing. The heat tried to heat that whole building. Mm-hmm. It was, you'd be so cool with it all.
They called it Potbelly Heater.
Yeah, people Potbelly. They had one in the church too.
Mm-hmm. They would have one in the church.
Also. Sometimes when you go online, look at Potbelly Heater, you'll see what it looked like. We had a wooden stove where grandma used to cook on.
Had to keep a wood pile out there. Mm-hmm. Burn in the wintertime. Keep the wood.
But that man looked like Joe on the coals.
Mm-hmm. You can smell that coal before you get to the stove.
Mm-hmm. And this building was the old building, just moved. Is it true that there's bits and pieces of the old church in this church still?
Yes.
The front part.
Because this will add on.
I think he got rid of the red building. Mm-hmm. That's what the red is.
I hated it. That was history.
There's a picture there in that photo.
Okay.
You know, got a book with a lot of the pictures in it. Mm-hmm. Have you seen them?
No, I haven't seen them.
With the church and everything in the school. Talking about my name. Oh. Mm-hmm.
So if there's one piece of advice you'd give to the younger generation, what would you say?
Trust in the Lord.
That's all you can tell them now. Try to tell them.
Is still Jesus in them.
Is still the Lord God.
Always.
Because we're a thing on you, then you got to say. Mm-hmm. And telling them that, you might be wasting your time. Mm-hmm. It's just a different world now, mm-hmm.
But you can just tell them ASAP, always stop and pray. Mm-hmm. You know, because prayer will put you through. Mm-hmm. And trust in the Lord, because He never forsake you if He'll never leave you. He's always there, all the time. And at the end, it'll be worth it.
And some of them listen.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And some of them don't. Mm-hmm. But you know, they always say they're training up the church, they might leave.
Mm-hmm.
But then you don't go. They have been brought up in the church and know how to act and know what to do. Then they know about prayer because they know what the parents done taught them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll come back.
Oh yeah.
Some of them come back. Yeah. And then sometimes some of them get so poor out there, you know, they, for whatever reason, they don't come back. You know, but some of them will come back because they have been taught.
Yeah.
And they don't forget what you've been taught. Mm-hmm. And they'll see, you know, that trust in the Lord, everything gonna work itself out.
Oh yeah, every time. Yeah.
And you just like, you are distant from your parents and everything. They don't stop your mom from praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, they still continue to pray for you because, like I said, they want their child to be safe.
Oh, yeah.
And everything. And we do the same thing. We still pray for our kids, even though they're grown and got their own mm-hmm. family and everything. We don't stop them from prayer because, like I said, God loves us all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your hopes for the future?
Hopes for the future.
Okay.
That these young people will find the Lord. And that these young people, because Proverbs say if you train them up,
mm-hmm.
even if they depart, they'll come back. And so, let me send you this hope and pray that they would listen. Now, all of them will not be, because everybody's not going to be saved. But the ones that will be saved, we hope that they find the Lord and find Him in time
mm-hmm.
and find Him while they still have time. Because see, a lot of times these young people think that death only comes to old people.
Mm-hmm.
But if you check the cemetery, there's some shallow graves out there too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think they're going to live forever and always, but not so. You don't know where death is. These young people don't know where death is. That's how come, as we can say, you just got to pray for them. Continue to pray for them. But they think death is for old people.
But they see a lot now that they never seen before.
Oh,
so
yes.
Many young people, you know, 16, 14,
oh,
17,
yes.
You know, it's getting shot or they're dying, overdose.
Oh, yes.
And it's so much we don't even hear about is being done, you know, to younger people. But all we can do is just tell them about Christ. You know?
Yes. We still have time.
Ask forgive you for all your sins because we never know when that time will come. You know,
because He say sometimes He say He'll come like a thief in the night. And when have you ever heard a thief call before He comes? So you just pray you be ready,
mm-hmm.
and you ain't got to be no 50, 60, or even 100
Amen.
Years old. Cause like Sister Fanny was saying, the young children, they sure live and
leave
here.
They don't realize. We're going to leave.
No, that's okay. I was actually hoping that we can kind of end this.
Okay.
Room. That's okay.
Yeah.
I think it went well.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Bonnie, you have to get her
paper.